Lord's dealt with me in a maybe a little different way than he usually does, seems like. I'm not up here to give a course in psychology. But by the help of the Lord, I'd like for us all to try to learn. Maybe we could all learn a little something today. I want to talk about, by the help of the Lord, the power of the flesh, or the power of self, either way you want to look at it. God created man, Bible teaches us, and he breathed in man the breath of life. Man became a living soul. He gave man something that made man a little higher than the animals. And that was the ability to reason or intellect. He gave us the privilege, if you will, of being able to choose what we want to do with our lives. I wrote two words on the board. One of them is innate. Innate. And the other one is inherent. You see, when God created man, he gave us the ability to reason and to understand. But he didn't tell us. We pretty much know what the Lord has told us. But there's a lot of things that he hasn't told us. And as we go through life, we begin to learn what some of those things are. And God will see to it that you and I go down a path of life that will bring us to the place that he is trying to get us to get to. Now, we're all trying to go to heaven, but there's a place for every one of us of understanding, and we need the Holy Spirit's counsel and guidance to get there. But what are we dealing with? What are you dealing with? Who are you? Who are you? Sometimes I think we don't even understand ourselves very well. But we serve a God that does understand, and he does know everything. Thought about the son, the father telling his son one time, he says, I've taught you everything you know. But I didn't teach you everything that I know. So when it comes to understanding and what you and I know, we are limited. We all are limited. And we act out every day with the challenges of life, dealing with what God permits and allows to come our way. We act out on that with our limited understanding. And our limited ability and how to deal with it. These words here, I want us to, I'm going to try to, by the help of the Lord, to help us to see who we really are. The word innate, innate. It means that it was existing from the time a person is born. You're born with it. Existing from the time that you and I were born. It's the basic nature of something. The basic nature. You know, maybe to help us to understand, I could say, you know, that person has an innate sense of rhythm. Or they're musically inclined. Have you ever seen people that are musically inclined? Some people, they're not very musical. Some people, they can't even sing and carry a tune properly. But some people, I remember years ago when I was a young boy, I picked up the guitar, never had a lesson in my life. And I played the guitar for years because I was musically inclined. Not everybody is that way, but we're all made different. We all have something in us that we use. Maybe we don't even realize it. We have something inherent within us that we use. Inherent means the essential nature. The essential nature of man, of who you and I are today. It is determined by factors that are present in an individual from birth. You didn't get this from learning. You didn't get this from experience, but it's something that's in you. It's what makes you tick. What makes them tick? Well, we all think differently. We are all, our ability to grasp knowledge and understanding, it's all different. We can all look at the same thing and see different things. We can all hear the same word and hear different things. We're different. We're wired that way. It's innate. We were born with it. Nothing you and I can do about it. God put it there. These are characteristics that we have within us that begin to develop as we go through life. They begin to develop because of how we are wired or through the things that make us tick. The inherent, the existing from the time that a person is born. These things originate. Now bear with me here. We're going to get into the scriptures. These things originate, that is, within each and every one of us and derived from the mind or the constitution of your intellect rather than the experiences that you have in life. Now I hope this becomes more clear as we go on. In other words, inherent means it's built in. They make things today. They sell things today that have something built in. It's called obsolescence. It will fail. It will get old and it will go bad. Inherent means something that is built in. Your essential nature, who you are, and we're all different, aren't we? Sometimes you probably heard the saying, well, that's just the nature of the beast. You ever heard that? That's the nature of the beast. I remember back in my younger years when cars were not as advanced as they are today, automobiles, that there was a nature of some vehicles that they just were hard to start on a cold morning. It's just the nature of the vehicle. It wasn't just the one you had, but it's pretty much the nature of every one of those types of vehicles. They were hard to start on a cold morning. It's the nature of the thing. The beasts, the animals, they have their nature. That's how they do what they do. They don't have the intellect and the ability that you and I have to reason things out in their mind. But there's the nature of the lion. There's the nature of the dog, the nature of the elephant. They all have their nature. They don't all go about life the same way. Neither do you and I. Neither do you and I. And I want to say this right here at the beginning. Let's get a hold of this. Lord help us. The inherent nature that you and I have and sin doesn't mix very well. The inherent nature that you and I are born with and sin don't mix too good. It don't mix. Because that nature that you and I are born with, you see, Jesus Christ, if you'll permit me to say it this way, He escaped all this. He wasn't born of a woman. He was born of the Holy Ghost. He was born from above when He came into this world. He wasn't born from a man, I'm sorry. He wasn't born of a man. So he wasn't born with this, what I'm talking about here this morning. He was the Son of God. He was God in the flesh. But you and I deal with this every day, and sometimes we don't realize that's what we're dealing with. It has to do with, why do you make the choices that you make? Why did you do that? You ever have someone say to a child, why did you do that? I don't know. Nowadays they say the devil made you do it. Well, the devil, he's involved in everything. But I want to say that we all have something that we were born with. I'm not here to try to describe it. I'm not here to tell you what you were born with or what it is, but you got something that you've had to work with all down through your lives. It is something that's had a great impact on the decisions that you and I make. Give me an example. As we begin to deal with life, we begin to build character. Some people are quite the character. But we begin to build character. Who we are. My personality. This is who I am. And we begin to build character. Your character builds on the inherent nature that you were born with. Flesh is corrupt, isn't it? The power of the flesh. It is corrupt. God made man from Adam from dirt. Bible tells us that. He made Adam from dirt and he breathed in him the breath of life. It's kind, in my little mind, it's kind of a complicated thing to think that someone could take a pile of dirt and make the form of a man and breathe in them eternal life. Eternal life. Because God made man twofold, didn't he? Man became a living soul. So we're developing, every one of us. Some of us are so old now, we've already got our characteristics developed. We are who we are. One of my brother's favorite sayings, it is what it is. Why did they do that? It is what it is. Why did that happen? It is what it is. Well, that's true. But folks, you and I, that want to please God, we're responsible for some of this. We come to a place of responsibility for some of this. Now, let's consider some people. I'm not going to be able to get them all. Wouldn't even think of trying. But let's consider some people. Have you ever met an individual that was controlling? It seemed like they wanted to be the chief in charge. And they want to be the one to control not only their life, but they want to control yours too. Something within them that maybe they don't even understand drives them to the place where they have this inner desire, I want to control things. And we all want our lives controlled. We all want things to be in control. We want to think that we're in control, but God tells us He wants to be in control, see. So some people develop personalities or characteristics and they have a controlling issue. They want to control everything. Some people, as they begin to act out and deal with their personality, are very aggressive with their lives, aggressive with maybe their career. I'm going to chase this with everything I got. This is what I want. This is what I'm going to do. And not only aggressive in their own life, but they get aggressive with other people. They have that characteristic. It's inherent. It develops from the inherent nature that you and I are born, because we're not all that way. We're all different, aren't we? Some people are passive. Some people just, you don't bother me, I won't bother you. Or I just soon not go there, I just soon not get involved in that, and I'll just lay back and just let whatever happens, happens. What makes them that way? Well, they've been dealing with what they were born with, just like you've been dealing with what you were born with. Some people are covetous. Everything they see, they want. That seems to be pretty prevalent in the society that we live in today. Covetousness. The desire to want. The desire to have things. I see it. I need it. I want it. Whether they need it or not. Those people that develop those kind of characteristics. And those ones there, I'm going to stop with those, but those ones right there, for instance, those examples will cause a downward trend in those people's lives. The Bible deals with, talks about people that are controlling. It talks about people that are aggressive. It talks about people that are passive. And it talks about covetousness, doesn't it? It talks of every one of those lead to a downward trend. It will lead to trouble in people's lives. But they're born with it. Well, Brother Larry, what am I supposed to do about it? I was born with it. It's an innate quality that I had from birth. Something that was given. I didn't have anything to do with it. What makes a baby when a mother carries a baby in her belly? What makes the baby a male or a female? And I had to double check with my wife on that. It's the chromosomes, they say, the X and the Y chromosomes, and how that they begin to work together as that child begins to develop. God has control of that, doesn't he? Folks, God wants control of you and I. We have things maybe we did. Lord, I didn't ask for that. Lord, I don't want to be a bad person. I don't want to think bad thoughts. I don't want to think that about those people. We've got to deal with those kind of things. It's just the way it is. We got to deal with those kind of things. And I want to say that sense and sensibility has something to do with what we're talking about this morning. You've heard the saying, I'm sure. We've heard about common sense is pretty uncommon today. People don't seem to have the common sense to reason things out in their own mind. And folks, it's because they have let themselves go and got involved in things in their heart and in their life that's caused them to stray away of sense and sensibility. The things that God made for you and I make sense. It makes sense as we reason out and as we study out God and what he has given you and I. It makes sense to you and I. But I want to say this as we look at our first scripture. Our ability to control ourselves is of utmost importance. No matter what your nature is, you can say, I'm just the way I am. Some people blame it on, don't mess with me until I've had my coffee in the morning. Folks, God doesn't accept excuses. He has given you and he has given me what I have to deal with. It has brought about a makeup. How come we say my mom and dad had 8 children and every one of us were different? Every one of us behaved ourselves in a different way. I had an older brother, my second oldest brother. They sent him off to school, and after a few days of school would call mom and dad and tell them, well, where's Carl? Well, I don't know. We sent him to school every day. Well, Carl been gotten off the bus and went and got under a bridge and stayed under the bridge all day. Never did go to school. What caused him to do that? You take me, when I knew that I had to go to school, I didn't want to get in trouble. I went to school. I did what I was told to do. Not everybody does what they're told to do, do they? Isn't that amazing how we're all different? And yet we're born with some inherent qualities that even we do not understand. But I want to deal, by the help of the Lord, with one quality that we all have, and that's curiosity. We're all curious. That's inherent. That's inborn. That's built in. And every one of us, you're curious. When I go to church and I don't have to be the preacher, when it comes time for the word, I am so curious what God's going to say to me today. I am. I look forward to it. We're curious about anything and everything we want to know. Got to know. You got to know? You want to know? Do you know there's some things that God doesn't want us to know? Let's read a scripture found in Ecclesiastes, first chapter in the 8th verse. I hope I didn't lose anybody yet. All things are full of labor, and man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. Oh my goodness. Lord help us. Right offhand here, I'm going to say that you and I, we all need help, the Lord's help, to know when and with what we are to be satisfied with. He said here, the eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done, and there is no new thing under the sun. You know, sometimes the Lord allows you and I to see just enough to pique our curiosity. Sometimes we'll see things happen that really piques our curiosity. And once I see that, I hear something. Oh, Lord, help us now. I want to talk about the eyes and the ears and the tongue. And the tongue. You see, we have some members here because of these inherent, innate things that we were born with. We've got to learn how to deal with them. And folks, they are born out through your eyes, through your ears, and through that tongue that we have. That little tongue that God give us can cause so much trouble. And oh, he said here, I want to read it again because I want to get a hold of it. The eye's not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. Did you hear what so-and-so did? Did you hear what happened over? Do you know what? Oh boy, doesn't that pique our curiosity? Oh, tell me more. Oh, I want to tell you something, but it's a secret. Don't tell anybody else. Sometimes that don't last very long. And it's because that person, that individual maybe, does not have the character, the ability to be able to hold a secret or to keep a secret. Choose your friends wisely, folks. Choose those that you trust wisely. I'll tell you who can keep a secret. God can keep a secret. When you take it to the Lord in prayer, whatever the need or problem that you have, God can keep a secret. But it's nice to have friends here on earth that we can talk to and share things with. Not only nice, but I think it's important that we have those things. The eyes and the ears. You see, I see it, but I'm not satisfied. I want to know more. I hear it, but I'm not satisfied. I want to know more. I'm curious. And we're all curious. But be careful that you let the Lord govern your curiosity. We're all curious people. Let's look at another verse right here in the 18th verse, same chapter. For in much wisdom is much grief. And he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. Now it would seem to me that this book here is attributed to Solomon, that even his wisdom was not sufficient to solve life's ultimate problems or questions. It's in much wisdom is much grief. But he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. We learn from the book of Proverbs that wisdom has benefits. And he tells us to seek wisdom. But we begin to learn here from the wise man's writings that wisdom has limitations just as well. I sought much wisdom, but wisdom is much grief. And he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. So what does that mean? I carry sorrow today because of something that I've gained knowledge of. Know what I'm saying? Sometimes the more that you know can bring greater sorrow upon your soul. In much wisdom is much grief. And my little burden here is, Lord, help me not to go beyond the boundaries that you have set for me. To what I see, to what I know, and to what I understand. Help me not to go beyond those boundaries. I've been grieved many times. As a matter of fact, I carry grief today, but I don't enjoy it. You? Anybody enjoy grief? We learn things that bring sorrow and grief to our hearts. But yet, we were all born with this innate desire to want to know. Lord, I gotta know. Wasn't it Moses when God sent him and he brought the children of Israel out of bondage and he got out there in the wilderness and calamity and problems and trouble got involved? Moses went back and said, Lord, you want me to lead these people over there? 1,100,000 people over there that are so rebellious and they won't listen to a thing that I say or that you say, and you want me to lead them over there? I gotta know that you're gonna be with me. I gotta know. We all wanna know. And the Lord's made it possible for you and I to know He'll be with us always. Even to the end. He'll be with us. We carry, many of us, sorrow today because of things that we've learned and found out about that we didn't once understand or know. We need, every one of us, to recognize our limitations and to let God control our lives. You know, there's another thing that I see in people that has to come from within. You know, sometimes you can teach and teach and teach and teach, and it doesn't seem to do some folks any good. They're going to do what they're going to do. You can teach and teach and teach. I've been thinking about this business of going to church, hearing the Word of God. People have their priorities in life. Every one of us do. And some of this inbred stuff has something to do with how we set our priorities. But you know why God is not a priority for a lot of people today? Because they haven't fallen in love with His Son. They haven't fallen in love with Christ. When you fall in love with something, it's so much easier to do it. You'll spend your time, you'll spend your money, you'll spend whatever you need when you fall in love. Folks, people need to fall in love with Jesus. And when you fall in love with Jesus, you'll fall in love with His Word. And your desire, that curiosity of yours, will kick into gear and you're going to want to know everything you can know about the one you've fallen in love with. It's time for people to fall in love with Jesus. But we got all these things that we're dealing with within me. You know, I don't know why my wife does what she does and why I do what I do, but I know it's developed down over the years over what I was born with or what I inherited when I came into this world. And we all use it and work with it the best that we know how and understand. And I think it's a good idea for the Lord to help us try to understand why I do what I do. How'd I get here? How'd you get where you are today? What makes you think the way that you think today? What makes you see things the way you see things today? We have three main organs that I mentioned. The eyes, the ears, and the tongue. That must, if we're going to be successful in living for the Lord, must be brought under control. The eyes, and even more so today. In this world that we live in, there's so much out there that my eyes should never see. There's so much out there that my ears should never hear. Should never hear those things. Have you ever heard, have you ever been told that people that keep looking at the same image over and over again, you can go to bed at night and close your eyes, you'll see that image. You can go to bed a week later and see that image. These things become indelible upon our minds and they affect how we deal with life. How we deal with our situations in life. In much wisdom is much grief. Oh, the world is so full of grief today. And he that increaseth not. Well, I thought we were supposed to learn. I thought we were supposed to get understanding. Well, that's what he encourages to do. With all your wisdom, get understanding over there in the book of Proverbs. But folks, what we're saying here this morning is there are things that God says, that's off limits. Don't go there. Don't press your way into that because it'll bring you sorrow and it'll bring you grief in your life. We can make those little decisions in the spur of a moment and it'll affect the rest of our lives. It'll do that. The things that we have to deal with. Let's look at a scripture. We'll need to move here. The scripture in the book of Psalms, 39th chapter. Believe it or not, this is where this all came from. As the Lord began to build it, Brother Donald Sharp used to tell us the Lord gave him a skeleton and then he'd put some meat on it. That's what the Lord did with me, this little message today. The book of Psalms, the 39th chapter. I said, I will take heed to my ways that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. This is what I'm going to do now. I was dumb with silence and I held my peace even from good. And my sorrow was stirred. My heart was hot within me. While I was musing, the fire burned, then spake I with my tongue. What he is saying here to me is that he has a complaint. He has a concern and he suppresses it as long as he can. I'm going to hold back on this as long as I can. And when he can contain himself no longer, While I was musing, while I was thinking about it, anybody here ever been in an argument with a husband and a wife? Or with someone else? And while you, right in the middle of that argument, you're thinking about it and thinking about it, while I was musing, the fire burned till I got to the point where I just couldn't hold it any longer. That's what he's saying. Isn't that who we are? Isn't that what people do? Sure it is. After 48 years, I know a little bit about it. That's what people do. And that's what the writer said. I'm going to take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I'll keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. His crying out here was, my heart was hot within me. He said his sorrow was stirred and his heart was hot within him. And while he was musing, the fire burned. And then I just couldn't handle it any longer. And I spake with my tongue. Folks, what happens when we allow ourselves to get to that point when things are boiling up inside and that old tongue begins to flop? What happens? We say things that we regret. We say things we wish we'd have never said. We say things we'd like to take back, and you can take them back, but the damage is done, isn't it? Yeah. Something inherent in me. Why can't I control this? Why do I allow the enemy to work on me that way? Why do I give in to that kind of pressure? Why do I let the enemy control me that way? You'll have to answer those questions yourselves. But I'll tell you how you can govern it: by the Holy Spirit infilled in your heart and in your life. That's the only thing I know that will bring a governing power over that thing. Because the power of the flesh is so great that it will take you down paths that you never did want to go. I know, I've been there, I've done it, and I've regretted it, and I'm still paying for it today. So I guess I'm a pretty good character up here to be telling you this, because I've been there. And I've been weak. There's no one that's been any weaker than me. Might have done worse things, I don't know, but there's no one any weaker. The devil presented it before my eyes, and I went and did it, and knew that I shouldn't have done it. I was taught different, I was raised different, but there's something in old Larry that I didn't have the ability to squash it and to override that until I found Jesus. Until I found Christ in my life. He couldn't contain himself any longer. Then he said, he realized that his innate frailty, his inherent frailty. Lord, I'm frail here. I'm not handling this. The devil's taking advantage of me. I'm putting it in our lives here this morning. He's taking advantage of me. I see my weakness. I see what the flesh is doing to me. He feels it so strongly, doesn't he? He feels it very strongly. And then he said, he finally presents his petitions to God. Oh, I'm so glad that no matter what you and I get into today, no matter what you and I have to deal with today, there's a God we can turn to. He said, Lord, make me to know my end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I might know how frail I am. You know, I've talked to, I put quotation marks there, saints. I've talked to some of our people. I've talked to a lot of them. I get a lot of phone calls. And we talk. And you know the bottom line that I always come down to, and I'm going to tell you folks, it's the bottom line for me. It doesn't matter what that situation is. It doesn't matter who's involved in that situation. It doesn't matter what your complaint is. The bottom line is, how are you going to stand before God when you draw your last breath? And you know what I get most of the time is silence. And you realize, whew, all those things I called you about, Brother Larry, maybe they're not as important as I thought they was. What's really important is, where am I going to stand when I draw my last breath? Those people that you're troubled about, you're not going to give an account for them. The trouble that you're dealing with, you better get rid of it. You better get it out of your heart, because you're going to draw your last breath one of these days. This man began to realize how frail that he really was. And he cried out to the Lord, make me to know mine end, and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Do you know how frail you are, folks? Do you know that you can take the ball and you can run with it and you can just work everything out and do what you want to do, but when you get down there and you have messed up your life, you're going to realize how frail you really are, and you're going to realize how you lack the ability to be successful in life without God. Got to have God to be successful. He presented himself and his petitions to God, hoping, trusting that God would regard his tears and spare him. Regard his tears and spare him. God has given us inherent qualities from birth, and we need him, folks, desperately. You know, my prayer is, I can make a suggestion, can I? I never would tell anybody how to pray, but I can make a suggestion. When I go before the Lord, Lord, help me to see this. Help me to see myself. Why am I so weak? Why is the enemy able to beat me about like he does? Why is he able to take control of me? Why don't I have the love of God that I ought to have in my heart? Look, I have a lot of whys. I have a lot of questions. Lord's got the answers. But when I ask him to help me and to deal with it, folks, he will. He's the only one that is able. He's the one that really cares. If we need help from God, the bottom line is, there's got to be a humbling of the creature. We got to humble ourselves and turn to God and acknowledge him as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. We've got to do those things, folks. He went on to say that, you've made my days as a handbreadth. I know I'm not going to be here forever. I know that. And he said, my age is as nothing before thee. Every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Surely every man walketh in a vain show. Surely they are disquieted in vain. He heapeth up riches and knoweth not who shall gather them. And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee. I believe here's a man that discovered his innate abilities were not enough to keep him from sinning with his mouth. His own, what he has on hand to deal with as flesh or self, is not able to deal with life as it comes at you. You and I aren't able to deal with it either. I'd like to look at another scripture in the same book, Psalm 6. I've watched people suffer, been with them, praying with them, their time of suffering. And this verse, this scripture has come to me several times. But here's a man, David, complaining. He said, Lord, rebuke me not in your anger, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. I give him one thing. He's very conscious of deserving rebuke, but he begs for mercy. Rebuke me not in your anger. Oh, we don't any of us want him to do that. Neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed. My soul is also sore vexed. But thou, O Lord, how long? How long? That's a question mark. How long am I going to be in this? How long am I going to go through this? Do you know that there are people so depressed out there today? There are some of our people going through afflictions and going through trials that are so hot and so difficult, they don't fully understand them. And there's so many things out there that can bring depression upon you and I. The miseries of the depressed folks are both physical and psychological. When you get depressed, it will affect you physically. I've seen people get so depressed and so sick that they just vomiting. Affects different organs and things in their bodies. And so psychologically messed up. Can't think straight. Can't deal with those situations. Oh Lord, how long? Say, maybe you've never been there yet, but folks, you're not dead yet. You don't know what you're going to face. You don't know what you're going to deal with in life. Oh Lord, how long? Lord, I know that I haven't done right. Don't rebuke me in your anger. But Lord, have mercy. Don't we all need the Lord's mercy today? We need the Lord to have mercy on us. Two men, brothers, Cain and Abel. They were born of Adam and Eve, weren't they? So they had an innate nature about them. It was inherited, but yet they were brothers and they were different. Both given choice. Both bringing their offerings before the Lord. One of them the Lord was pleased with, when the other one the Lord wasn't pleased with, and whenever he found the Lord wasn't pleased with it, he got angry with his brother and he rose up and he killed his brother. Who in here today, please don't answer this out, could take someone else's life? Couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. Some people can. I talked to a man years ago that had been in the service, and I guess he'd seen some grisly things. And I asked him, I said, could you actually take an individual's life? He said, no problem. I got a little 20-year-old granddaughter that's getting ready to get into nursing school, and she's done some of the biology, is it? Science of studying the body and all those things. And she comes and tells us, oh, she just loves to dissect the eyeballs of a sheep or to do this and to do that and to get into the organs and see. She just loves, folks, you couldn't get me to touch that. We're different. You're understanding now, aren't you? We're different. You can do things I can't do. I can do things that maybe you can't do. Because we were born different. Our makeups are different. Folks, didn't come from mom and it didn't come from dad. It's something that is a nature that has been put in you when you were born that begins to have a direct effect upon your life and how you deal with your circumstances in life. Cain and Abel, they both dealt with it differently, didn't they? But their choices, the point I want you to get here, the choices that they made were made with what God had given them. God give them the ability to make the choices that they made. And just through this alone, in Cain and Abel, I can see the power of the flesh. The power of self. Self does not like to be denied. Self does not like to be abased. It doesn't want to be put down. And when it does, it rises up. That's what Cain did. He rose up, didn't he? It rises up. They each drew on their own personalities. But let me tell you, there's one other thing involved here. God plainly says in His Word, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. And on whom I will harden. Folks, when God is sending forth His Word, when God is dealing with a soul, when the Holy Spirit is sending conviction upon the heart of a man, God's mercy. When that is rejected, when the heart gets hardened, their rebellion sets in, folks, He says, on whom I will harden. And He showed that through Pharaoh, didn't He? It was 10 miracles that God had Moses and Aaron to perform before Pharaoh. Mercy. God trying to get him to see, but he wouldn't see. I don't know. Well, you know, he was a king. He was a ruler. He probably thought he was somebody. I got this. I got control. I can do anything I want. Folks, let me tell you something. Now, I don't know why I'm going to get onto this, but I'm going to get onto this by the help of the Lord. We got people right now in Washington, D.C. who think they can do anything that they want to get to do and control anything that they want to control, and there won't be any repercussions. Let me tell you, someday they will give an account. Someday. They will give an account. It may not be in your and my day. It may not be in this life, but they'll give an account. You see, when you go up against the kingdom of the enemy, he can give it up real easy. He can give up his kingdom real easy. Those people are fighting and scratching for everything that they've taken away from us to try to hold on to it. I want to think of a couple more fellows here before I finish. King Saul and King David. King Saul and King David. God put them both on the throne. God did. One man had been given all these things that God gave him, and he was disobedient. And not only in his disobedience, he was arrogant. And even telling the prophet that I've done everything God told me to do. What caused the man to do that? God put him there. Something about him. He was resisting the call of God upon his life, and he lost his kingdom. He was stern. He was hard. But I look at David. God put him on the throne. Did David ever mess up? How many times? How many times did David mess up? When he went and took Bathsheba and sent her husband out to die, and God sent Nathan the prophet, and David discovered, and he discovered to David that God knew all about this, and you're the man. What did David do? He didn't say, oh no, I didn't do that. But he cried out to God and said, have mercy upon me. Folks, your best way out of anything you get in, I don't care what circumstance you're in, the best way out is to ask God for mercy. Don't be obstinate. Don't stand and take your own place. Take your own case. But ask God for mercy. Think of a man, and I mentioned earlier one of the characteristics of man today is covetousness. And I think of Balaam. Now you know Balaam, he was a prophet. He was a man of God. And they came and they asked him to go and curse the children of Israel. And he told him he couldn't do it, but they kept bringing him all these goodies. And the more goodies they brought, the more, ooh, that looks good to me. And well, you go away and let me go build an altar and talk to the Lord and see what God, He already knew what was in Balaam. What was it? See, I'm not a psychiatrist, a psychologist. I don't know anything about that, but I know that there was something inherent in his nature that he would even stop and consider the fact that God may change his mind. But the Bible tells us in the New Testament he was a man of covetousness. He coveted those things. Covetousness drives a man, causes a man to do things otherwise he normally would not do. Same thing happened to Judas, didn't it? What drove Judas to betray the Son of God? Because he didn't like Jesus? No, that wasn't it. Because he began to covet some things. I think it was way beyond the 30 pieces of silver. But he began to covet some things. Till he came to the point where the Bible says the devil entered into his heart. And from that point on, folks, that man was in big time trouble, wasn't he? And when he, after he did what he did, the scripture tells us he went out and he took his own life. Okay, that's Judas. He messed up. Simple way for me to say it. Man named Peter messed up too. He came along a little bit later and denied his Savior three times, determined that I'm able to go to death with you. What causes people to do what they do, folks? Bible says Peter followed afar off. He had a fear of man. Whatever the devil you can use on you to control you, he will. He'll find it. He knows what it is. He knows your weakness. He knows my weakness, folks. And I was talking to my niece. She's 63 years old now. We was talking the other day when she was in from Oregon, and she didn't realize that I used to be a drinker. And, of course, she's having issues with some children. And I said, yeah, I used to be able to do that. She said, really? Yeah. It's been well over 30 years. Well, who's your support group? I said, excuse me? Who's your support group? Oh, he is. That's my support group. I said, Connie, you couldn't get me to touch alcohol of any kind for nothing in this world. I'd go to my death, I believe, before I would touch it. I said, he's my support group. He delivered me from it. He saved me from it. And he keeps me from it. And I have no desire whatsoever to go back to those ways. None. None whatsoever. Who's my support group? You know, Peter had a support group. He said, I prayed for you. Because I know you're going to fail. Saints, I don't care who you are here this morning. I love every one of you. But you're human. You've got some innate qualities. Things that you inherited from birth. Those are things that can bring about propensities in your life. In the choices you make. You have a propensity to do wrong. If you're still breathing in this flesh. The power of the flesh. I'm not going to go over there to the 7th chapter of Romans, but you know what Paul said over there? We all have a propensity to do wrong. But praise God, today I can have God's Son, His Spirit, and His Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit in my life, that I can conquer and overcome anything that the enemy can come at me with. Is it because I'm so strong in the flesh? No. But I tell you, the flesh has power over you without the influencing power of the Holy Spirit. The flesh will control you. May the Lord bless us today. I do want to read this. I'm not going to leave it out. over in James, the book of James. And then I'll, Lord willing, I'll sure be finished. Book of James in the third chapter, 13th verse. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Have you ever seen a wise man do some pretty stupid things? Yeah, a wise man can do some pretty dumb things sometimes. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. Because this wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable and gentle and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. James speaks of two wisdoms here. One is from God, and it promotes peace that ends in righteousness. The other is natural, it's of the flesh, and it's demonic in nature. We need his government, don't we? I'm thankful today that God rules over the kingdom of darkness. The devil is in the kingdom of darkness, but God rules it. God is able to help you and I overcome. And he's able and he wants you and I to sow peaceable fruit. We need the Lord today to harmonize, bring unity to my characteristics, my traits, those things that cause me to tick, those things that are, make me wired the way that I am. I need God to harmonize those things in my life. I need God to work in my life. I need the controlling influence that God has for me. Pray for me. I sure want to be faithful. I've lived long enough to have proved that I don't have it. But God does. God's proved that to me in my life. He has it. Say, why did you do it? I don't know why I did it. Something in me made me do it. Or maybe it's because I'm just so weak I can't control myself. May the Lord help us today, folks. We're going to heaven. Let's get there together. Let's fight against this old enemy that works on this old flesh that you and I live in. Pray for me.